Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
From the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com, it's time to get all the info you need on the Vanderbilt Commodores. This is the Anchor Down Podcast with Vanderbilt reporter Max Herz.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it, Max.
On Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
And the Game Nashville app.
It's time to Anchor Down. And listen up to the Anchor Down Podcast here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Let's talk some Vandy Boys baseball on this Monday. Cooper Davis, senior outfielder, was the captain of the victorious Black team in the Black and Gold series last weekend. He had a walk-off hit in the final game in the extra inning shootout, load-em-up, one-out format. And we got a lot to talk about. We'll talk about the weekend. We'll talk about the team's fall. Some individual players we want to spotlight, new pitches for Kumar Rocker and Jack Leiter, and Cooper's experience facing them for the first time, not knowing that the new pitch was coming. Talk about Austin Martin going to his hometown Blue Jays, what he did this summer with no organized baseball, and more. You can subscribe to the Anchor Down Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts. We talk Vanderbilt baseball year-round. Today, no exception. An extended 30-minute interview with Vanderbilt baseball senior outfielder Cooper Davis here on 102.5 The Game and the Anchor Down Podcast. The victorious captain of the Black team of the Vandy Baseball Black and Gold Series is here. Cooper Davis led Team Canada to the victory and even finished it with the walk-off. Coop, how does it feel to be a Black and Gold champion?
I mean, it's huge. I think, you know, that's the focus of the entire fall is Black and Gold, really. I mean, we had skins that the games that we play the weeks prior leading to the Black and Gold series. And then, you know, that week going into it, we have the draft. And then it's just like that's our main focus. And I think putting together a good group of guys and going out and competing and winning. And then now getting beef steak at the Christmas party. So, I mean, you know, our guys are jacked up about it.
Well, thank you for joining us in what I'm sure has been a week filled of celebrations and calls from the highest levels of baseball. It really seems like there was a lot on the line, though. I mean, it's bragging rights for fun, but there's also some tangible competition to this.
Absolutely. I mean, we take it seriously. I mean, as much as, you know, the draft is, you know, kind of we have some fun with that and we have fun with, you know, how we, you know, pick the teams. But when it comes down to competition, I mean, it's serious. I mean, we're, you know, the training days leading up to it, you know, during training, if you watch, you know, we kind of split up in our groups and we do, you know, the gold team does one thing, black team does the other. And so we kind of, it's kind of cool that way that, you know, we've been training together a whole fall and then we kind of just break everybody in half. And it's the days leading up to it, you know, you try not to say too much because you don't want to have any bad karma for black and gold, but, you know, you also don't want to be too quiet before the series. So it's definitely, we definitely treat it, you know, we have fun with it, but we compete at the same time. It's, you know, it's serious for all of us.
You and Jason Gonzalez, the team's two senior position players, were the captains. What is the setting of the draft like, and how do you guys do it?
I mean, so it's usually after training. We did after training on, I believe it was a Tuesday, and Corbs just sends us out, you know, the roster, the pitching availability, what that looks like, so we can kind of come up with some sort of game plan of kind of how we want to attack the draft. And you know, we get together in a meeting room with it's just me, Jason, and Corbs, and because everything else is draftable. We draft everything. So from staff members to strength coaches to players, jerseys, you know, we draft it all. So it's really the only people allowed in that room and people that are sworn in secrecy is just me, Corbs, and Jason.
So there are no rules about if the black team picks a pitcher, the gold team has to pick a pitcher. Like, you could pick Kumar Rocker first, and then Jason Gonzalez could pick Chris Hamm to be his strength coach if you wanted to.
So we did all the staff stuff first, like staff, jersey, color, home and away. And that was all done by a coin flip.
Okay.
So if you won the coin toss, you got the pick. So usually there was only two options, like for, you know, you have home and away. So someone flips a coin and, you know, you're able to, you know, if he picks home, you know, I automatically get away. So a lot of them were just two options. So you kind of just flip the coin for it. So the team, yeah, the players were, it was kind of like a separate draft, but all the other stuff in terms of staff and home and away jerseys, all that stuff was picked kind of in the draft before. So I guess it's like two separate drafts.
You were saying before we came on that Mike Baxter is now 4-0 in these. So he's a valuable asset, even if it's just a Baxter or Macias choice.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. No, I mean, I think he's just got the black and gold luck. I mean, that was my thinking going into it. It's just that, you know, you love both coaches. You know, they're both amazing coaches. So it's not like you're ever going to lose whether you pick the other one. It doesn't really matter. But I just had to kind of think. I'm like, okay, who's won the last black and gold? I'm like, whoa. I'm like, Bax has never lost a black and gold. So, I mean, I didn't anticipate. I didn't want to be his first loss. So I thought that was also another little bit of motivation in there. So, yeah, so that's kind of where that came from.
What's it like to celebrate with the team you picked in the outfield after you got the hit in the extra inning shootout format on Sunday?
I mean, I think it was huge. I mean, I think, you know, to cap off a fall like that, you know, with everybody, I mean, I think the biggest thing about that whole situation kind of coming through was just, you know, being able to play in black and gold in general. I mean, I think a lot of us had no clue if we were going to be able to train this fall, had no idea if we were going to be able to play games with groups of guys on the field. So I think that celebration, yeah, was, you know, somewhat about winning the black and gold, but I think a lot of it was just, we were just so happy to be able to, you know, compete against one another and finish off that series. I think it was, you know, it was a lot of fun for us. And, you know, there's so many people behind the scenes that played a huge role in, you know, keeping us safe and keeping us on the field and, you know, making sure we're following protocols. And, you know, we don't get that opportunity to celebrate on the field and, you know, be together with everybody if they don't, you know, do everything that they do. So I think that, you know, being so happy about winning black and gold was, you know, part of it was, yeah, celebrating with the teammates, but also celebrating the fact that there were so many people that, you know, helped us get to that point and allowed us to play those games.
Vandy senior outfielder Cooper Davis is our guest here on the Anchor Down podcast. With all of those things in mind, what did the team accomplish over the last 2 months?
I mean, right when we showed up here, I think we've done a really good job, you know, getting to know one another as a team, coming together. You know, we're all usually the freshmen live on Commons, which is kind of farther away from us. Mm-hmm. We don't usually get the opportunity to, you know, really get to know the freshmen until about, I would say, you know, beginning of the season when we start traveling and living together. But as of right now, we're all living together in the Lewis and Morgan houses. So I think, you know, the last couple months have been really solid in terms of just integrating the freshmen as quickly as possible, getting to know them, getting together with them, just kind of going over how we do things here. And I think the training environment, you know, really reflected that. You know, we started off, had some slow training days, and then, you know, we really picked it up going into the end. And I think black and gold was a reflection of that. You know, it was a very highly competitive environment. And I think, you know, that's where we want to be. I mean, we have a long way to go as a team in terms of, you know, where we need to be in terms of the season starting. But I think, you know, black and gold was a really good, I guess, show of kind of where we started and kind of where we're moving towards the season.
Are there any similar feelings or conversations to 2 years ago, the fall when you were a sophomore and the team that won the national championship with a deep returning position player group and for the most part a pitching staff where you know you can get valuable innings from?
Yeah, I mean, I don't like to compare like team by team. I mean, every team is different and it's hard to tell in the fall, you know, how everything is going to match up because, you know, we are only playing against ourselves. But I mean, you know, the consistency of just, you know, working hard, you know, I think has been there every single year that I've been here, trying to recreate that in training environment every single day in the fall. And I think that 2019 team, we did an exceptionally well job just, you know, dominating that environment in those training sessions and in the practices in between the games. And I think, you know, this team has a really good opportunity to do that and to really get better between, you know, the end of the fall now into the season. So in terms of, you know, comparing the actual teams and what we got, I, you know, I can't really say that. I don't know if we have a guy who's going to hit 30 home runs or 28 homers or anything like that. But I think from a leadership standpoint and having guys that, you know, understand how to, you know, really work in the training environment, I think we have a good opportunity to grow as a team.
Tim Corbin said last week that this current team is still seeking to finalize their offensive identity. How much do you think you learned about that during this fall season?
I think we learned a lot. I mean, in terms of our offense, you know, early on in the fall, we got, you know, punched in the face pretty good with some of the pitching. I mean, I don't know. You can't really tell why. Sometimes guys, you know, some guys didn't play this summer. Some guys played. Kind of guys were at different spots coming into the fall. But I think what was really good in terms of what our offense is kind of figuring out as we kind of finished the fall was, you know, we had a really good fight from our offense in terms of, you know, what we were able to do in black and gold. You know, we were able to see some power bats and Tate Colwick, Isaiah Thomas, Dominic Heavey, Max Romero. You know, we're able to kind of see, okay, those are our power bats. You know, we don't know that for sure yet, but, you know, we were able to see it kind of play out in the game. And then some of our faster guys, you know, guys who can put the ball in play, guys who just, you know, when the scoreboard turns on, you might be able to see a different hitter than, you know, when it's just a scrimmage day. So sometimes that can kind of change things. It's kind of interesting to see that during black and gold. But, I mean, we're still looking to find, you know, who exactly we are as an offense and exactly why, like, you know, we're going to be completely different than 2018, 2019. You know, every offense is different, and same thing with our pitching staff. We're going to be different than any other year, and I think, you know, what's really going to be valuable between, you know, now and the beginning of the season is, again, just trying to find who exactly that is and just owning it and working on that until we start the season.
Cooper Davis, Vandy outfielder, is on the phone. Cooper, I want to ask you about a couple of those individual hitters you named. Max Romero is one of them. How impressed have you been with him to go from someone who, from what I could tell, wasn't even a candidate to get into a game last year as a freshman to someone who's hitting line drive screamers over the right field fence as a sophomore?
Yeah, Max is an awesome kid, and he's one of the hardest working guys that we have on our team. You know, he's always, you know, he's one of those guys that, you know, hangs around the cages, asks a lot of questions. He's always, you know, wanting to learn more. And I think I'm just so happy for him that he was able to come out this, you know, the entirety of the fall just hitting absolute bombs. And, you know, you're happy with those kind of kids just because in situations where, you know, yeah, like a freshman, you know, didn't really have a chance to play, didn't play at all, and then comes back in sophomore year and is able to, you know, continue that same work ethic no matter what happened last year, not really caring about playing, just kind of concerning himself with getting better. And I think Max has done that all fall, and it's just really awesome to see it translate into a game.
Isaiah Thomas had a great offensive weekend in black and gold. No surprise with what he did in the spring. No surprise with what he did in limited time as a freshman a couple years ago. You've seen him take over 1,000 hacks between in the games, in the cages, BP, and everywhere in between. His swing is so unique. I just want to ask you, Cooper, why do you think Isaiah Thomas's swing works?
I mean, I'm not very good at, I guess, going into the technicals of, you know, other guys' swings, but I mean, I could just tell you from his mentality, he's been so consistent ever since he was a freshman in terms of, you know, what he's trying to do at the plate, you know, understanding his role, understanding how to, you know, understand counts and where to get his swing off. And I think the maturity from him is really impressive. I think, you know, looking at him as a sophomore, he was already a pretty mature hitter, and I think, you know, what he was able to do against a really solid pitching staff this entire fall is just showing that maturity is growing. I think that's, you know, his best asset. And, you know, he's extremely physically talented. And I think going forward in the season into his junior year, I think he's really going to blow up in terms of, you know, maturity level. If it keeps rising the way it's going, I think he's going to do a lot of damage this year, and he's going to be a key part of our team for sure.
Agreed. Agreed 100% on that. Jason Gonzalez is back. He already talked about drafting against him. You've been with Gonzalez the whole way up. He took a leave of absence last year, wasn't with the team during the spring. safe to say he didn't really miss a beat, just kind of getting an early start on everybody else, training at home, going solo?
Yeah, no, that's Jason. I mean, you know, taking that leave and being able to come back, and, you know, he doesn't change at all. You know, he's just he's a happy, spirited guy that loves to be around the team. And, you know, and he just, you know, when he came back, he fit right back in the environment, right back into the training environment, because, you know, this is where he wants to be. And I'm really happy for him that, you know, he's able to come back and do and be where he, you know, needs to be. And that's with us. And I think, you know, him coming back this fall, you know, him working on, you know, different things with his swing, his defense, you know, he's a mature defender and hitter as well. And I think that's, and I think that's very valuable for a lot of our younger guys, you know, learning from a defender like him, a guy who's played 2 years in the SEC as a third baseman. I think that maturity is going to be really helpful. And, you know, and then he's got a guy to his left like Carter Young, who's, you know, also is starting to grow into a very mature shortstop. So I think his leadership in the infield is amazing to have back. And, you know, we've seen it in the fall, and it's really going to help us.
You and Jason are the two senior position players. Hugh Fisher is the only senior pitcher on the team. As someone who's 2 years younger than them, do you see the seven seniors who stayed for the 2019 season as starting a permanent culture shift in this Vanderbilt program, that senior contributors will stay and play a fourth year with Ty Duvall and Harrison Ray last year, and now the three of you guys this year?
I mean, I think being a fourth-year guy in this program, for sure. I mean, I can't really speak about other programs. I know that just, you know, you come in this program as a freshman, and you start learning, you know, how things are done, how the culture works, how, you know, training works, you know, and everything like that. And then as a sophomore, you get a little bit older. You're still kind of young. You're still learning. And you hit that junior year, and a lot of guys, you know, go on the draft. And, of course, you know, you're going to have your guys are going to go high in the draft and need to go start playing a professional career. And I just think the value of being a fourth-year guy and giving back, you know, being able to come back, not only get better for yourself, but I think it serves as a role to help those freshmen and sophomore along the way in terms of leadership. And I think, you know, you're given that title as a senior, as a leader, which doesn't mean you're a leader at all. I mean, you could be a sophomore and be a leader. It doesn't really matter. But I think as a fourth-year guy, you have that advantage of kind of understanding, been through situations, and I think it's so valuable to have seniors like myself, Jason, and Hugh, you know, us together. You know, we've been here since 2018, and we're able to share those same experiences with the freshmen who are just showing up from high school, and I think sharing those experiences with them is only going to speed up their maturing process, so I think being a returning senior, it's so valuable for not only the team, but it's valuable for, you know, us seniors, because we get that experience to be a leader on a team, which, you know, only helps us going forward in not only baseball, but life in general.
Cooper Davis, Vandy baseball senior outfielder, is our guest here on the Anchor Down podcast. We talked about some hitters. Let's talk about some pitchers. We got to see Kamar Rocker and Jack Leiter both pitch in the intra-squad series this past weekend. Seems like both of them have added new pitches. Jack Leiter's got a cutter, which looked pretty solid. We got to see that on Saturday in a short two-inning outing. And Kamar is really continuing the evolution we saw early last year, where he's gone from, as a freshman, just fastball slider, to last year, fastball slider changeup. And now he's adding a cutter as a fourth pitch as well, as the changeup continues to mature. What have you seen from the two of them as their arsenals are expanding?
Yeah, I wish I would have known about the arsenals expanding prior to my ABs and then this fall. not going to lie about that. But, no, I think, you know, just, you know, I'm not obviously a big pitching guy, you know, and understand or can basically understand what they're trying to do. And I think I'm going to keep saying it speaks to the maturity. I mean, Kumar is one of the most mature players I've ever seen, you know, just he's able to compete in all different environments. And for him to start, you know, tinkering with pitches, you know, try to see, you know, look at how he's always talking to hitters, always asking them, you know, what did this look like? How did this pitch, like, you know, how did you see this? And I think that just speaks to him. You know, he's just constantly trying to get better. You know, he's always working on his stuff, always trying to see what's going to get the hitters out. And, you know, we try to give him as much valuable feedback as we can. You know, yeah, I saw that, you know, pitch really well. You know, this wasn't, you know, executed well, or this was a good pitch. I had no idea what that was. And I think for him and Jack being the same, I mean, they're just, you know, I can only assume they're working together and working simultaneously on just trying to find different ways of getting better. You know, the thing that they understand is, you know, how good, just how good they are, but they also understand that, you know, the sky is the limit for them. You know, they're, you know, and that's for everybody on our pitching staff. You know, we have some of the most talented arms that I've ever seen in my life, and yet there they are every single day working with Brownie, working with film, trying to get better every single day. And it just speaks to the leadership they have on the pitching staff with guys like you and Kumar coming back, teaching them how to get better every single day.
Which of the new pitches was it that got you the first time around?
As the cutter. It was Jack's cutter. He threw it like I remember he came like with a backdoor cutter, like strike one. And I kind of looked at myself. I was like, what was that? Is that a slider? Did he just like slip on a fastball? And I looked back at the film. It was like a 92 mile an hour cutter to the other half. And I was just like, oh, okay. And then I talked to him about it after. He goes, yeah, I'm trying to throw a cutter. I'm like, well, all right, it was pretty good.
Yeah, I'd say more than trying at that point.
Yeah. So absolutely. Yeah. And same thing for Rock. I forget what I think I found out about it sometime in the fall during one of our scrimmages, and we talked about it after in terms of just, you know, how he was trying to work that in.
Well, it happened last year when he came out against UIC. He wasn't feeling the slider early in the season. He threw like 20 changeups that game. He'd probably thrown five in a game total before that. So it's unbelievable how these guys can just turn it on like that. I want to talk about Ethan Smith, too. He was one of two guys who pitched twice this weekend. We saw him in the late game roll to get the save for your team on Friday, and then went in the longer form, put the shutout on over the course of Sunday. We've seen Ethan a ton the past 2 years. Obviously, he's going to have a big role this season, just like he would have last year if the season had happened. What has helped him take it to another level?
I mean, I think with Smitty, I mean, just having faced him, you know, it's just his presence on the mound. I think, you know, he's always had a pretty good presence in terms of, you know, just, you know, feeling him on the mound and feeling him right after. And I think this, what I noticed, and you probably noticed it as well during Black and Gold, that he was right after guys. I mean, he wasn't playing around at all. Like, he was right in there. He was strikes. He was really competing on the mound. And I think that's what we need of a guy like Smitty. And that's, you know, he showed, you know, he was a huge part of Black team's success. I mean, on Friday, he came in, shut it down, comes in on Sunday, gives us, you know, whatever he had left in the tank after already throwing on Friday. And that just, you know, it shows a guy that, you know, is competing and throwing strikes, and he's right after you. And I think looking at him from a freshman, you know, I don't think he had as much kind of like that kind of presence on the mound. And it's kind of hard to have present to them on the mound as a freshman. I mean, it takes a special kind of personality, but I think he's really developing into a very mature pitcher who understands, you know, I need to attack hitters, and he did that all fall. That wasn't just Black and Gold. That he's been like that for the majority of the fall.
The moment I thought it clicked for Ethan Smith was his freshman year when he finished that game against Auburn at home, when he got Edward Julian to swing and miss, and his bat ended up on the backstop. That was when I felt like Ethan Smith hit that next level. And then last year we could have seen more of it, but didn't. Yeah, that's your boy. Hey, let's talk about Canada a little bit. Cooper Davis is our guest here on the Anchor Down podcast. Where were you and what did you do this summer with no baseball?
So right after the season was called, I went home back to my home in Mississauga, just outside of Toronto, Canada. And most of our stuff was on lockdown. I mean, didn't really have much to work with in terms of, I mean, I couldn't swing or do anything because all of the baseball facilities were closed for at least a couple months. And I was able to get lucky with a family friend that actually, he owns like a house league baseball facility. And he was able to let me in and start hitting in this small little, there's only like a couple cages. It's a small little indoor facility. And then I was able to, workout. They had a small gym in there, and so that basically became my home for the entirety of the summer. I got together with a couple college arms and some guys. One of the guys who actually, he went to SLU last year, St. Louis, but he doesn't go there anymore. He transferred. We have a guy named Harley Gullert. You actually might remember he started against us in 2018 on Austin, from Austin Peay University.
Okay.
So he's a left-handed arm. A couple guys I played with growing up, and we got together, and every Saturday I would we would face live at bats on a local field, and I did that for probably 3.5 months, and I was also able to get together with a bunch of other Canadian guys, Deshaun Brown, notable one. He's with the Toronto Blue Jays right now. He was a third round draft pick in 2019. Yeah, 2019. And I played with him with the Ontario Blue Jays growing up. And so we were able to get together. We're both outfielders. We did, outfield work. We did our sprint routines, and we would hit together as well. And then we would face those live at bats on Saturday. So that was the majority of the schedule every single week, was, just trying to get some sort of schedule, which was kind of like, I like to say it was like an off-season pro ball kind of schedule. You wake up, work out, hit, eat lunch, and then, just go about the rest of your day. So, you try to do as much as you can. The restrictions were a little bit more strict in Canada, but we were still able to get some work done over the summer.
The Vandy boys' population in Canada continues to rise as Austin Martin fell to fifth overall in the MLB draft to the Blue Jays. As he's falling, he doesn't go second. He doesn't go third where he was expected to go. What are you thinking watching that on TV?
I was shocked. For sure. I talked to him. I think a day and a half before. I just wanted to talk to him before I knew everything. I assumed he was going to go either one or two, and I knew that the day of the draft and probably the day after, he'd be absolutely flooded with calls and texts and stuff. So I reached out about a day and a half, 2 days before, just kind of early congratulating him for his accomplishments, as what he's done here for Vanderbilt and what he's about to go on and do in his professional career. And, as I'm watching the draft, I'm kind of seeing it, and I'm like, oh, man. And then I keep hearing, and I go, I said, no way the Toronto Blue Jays will pass on him here at five. I said, there's no way. And, it happened, and he got picked, and I was, super happy for him and his family. And then later on in the signing period, we got Harrison Ray as well. And, we already have Philip Clark. So I've been on a few FaceTime calls with a group of Blue Jays as well, which has been pretty nice. It's cool for my family as well, because, baseball sometimes in Canada can be kind of disconnected if you have, friends who play for, the Texas Rangers, when someone from Mississauga, Canada has no idea who the Texas Rangers are, but they'll definitely know who the Toronto Blue Jays are. So it's pretty cool to have that connection to so many good friends and teammates that, are in that organization working towards playing for the Toronto Blue Jays.
And having followed the Jays your whole life, where do you think he fits into their current young core? Do you think he goes in the infield or the outfield?
I have no clue, but I know his personality, knowing him as a person and having heard what the personalities are like on that team, I know he's going to fit in perfectly with them. And I know the city of Toronto loves, his kind of style. They love those young, fast, players who are super dynamic. And I think with, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Bichette, I think Austin has a chance to play the infield. I think he has a chance to play the outfield. That's the thing with Austin is, he's really like a Swiss Army knife in terms of just being able to play anywhere. It doesn't matter. He's going to hit. So just find him somewhere defensively. He'll play there, and he'll play a really good position for you. And that's the thing is, if you want him to play shortstop, second base, third base, he's not just going to give you an average third base. He's going to give you a really good third base. Same thing with if you put him in center field, he's not just going to be an average center fielder. He's going to be a good center fielder. So I think that pick with Austin, you can't go wrong. You're going to get a bat there, and you're going to get a plus defender at whatever position you decide is open.
And it seems like Guerrero settling in at first was kind of the first big domino to fall in terms of where all the guys in their early mid-20s are going to play for the next 6-10 years. So it'll be really interesting to see once he starts next year. I'm sure there's a chance he makes the team out of camp, but if there is a minor league season, where he's playing and where they want him. So we'll all be following that. Cooper Davis, Vandy Baseball, is our guest. Final question, also on the draft for you, Cooper. If the draft were normal and 40 full rounds, do you think you would have considered signing after your junior year last year?
It's tough to tell. You never know what the situation could have been like, and how long, if the season plays on, how good or bad you play. But I try not to think about that, because it's kind of like, making fake hopes or dreams or whatever, things that could have happened. I think I try to, like, think about, okay, what's the future? What's the situation I'm in now? And how can I make that the best situation for me? And I think, you know, just focusing in on this team and, you know, when I didn't get drafted, I was, you know, super excited, you know, on the phone with Corb and talking with Bax, and just, you know, super excited to come back and have this opportunity to lead this team. I mean, for me, that's, you know, my number one focus this year is really just leading these guys and, you know, trying to be the best leader I possibly can for these players. I mean, as a freshman, I understand how valuable it was and how impactful guys like Julian, Ethan, and all those older seniors, the impact they had on me as a freshman and sophomore. So I think those players are so valuable, and you look up to those guys and the stuff that they left in this program and the impact they left on the people and the players is huge. And I think if I can even come close to even a smidget of leaving something for players, you know, freshmen that are playing now, then, you know, I'll have done my job. But that's, you know, it's a special opportunity where, you know, you don't really get that very often to, you know, be a leader of a group, and, or at least, you know, try to be a leader of a group. So, you know, I've been really looking forward to this opportunity. And, you know, you can say that, you know, the draft didn't go right for me, but you can also say it went, you know, completely right, because it landed me out, landed me an opportunity to be back here, you know, where I should be leading a group of guys that, you know, we all deeply care about.
On the opposite side of hypothetical roulette, you did not lose a year of eligibility last year. Have you thought at all about any scenario that could bring you back to Vanderbilt for what would be a fifth year next season?
Yeah, I haven't really thought about that. I mean, I don't know about graduate school. I don't know. I'm a senior, so I got to worry about getting through this year and making sure my grades are all where they need to be. So I haven't really thought about graduate school, but, you know, I think that's definitely, you know, something that's interesting. I haven't talked about it with Corbs, and, you know, haven't really really even thought about it myself. But I think just, you know, focusing on this year is going to be definitely the key. I mean, whatever the future holds is whatever. It is what it is. I'm going to let the future play out, but just kind of focus on today.
Awesome. Cooper Davis, victorious captain of the black team from the black and gold squad. Team Canada, good team nickname. Do we approve of that?
I absolutely approve of that. I think I retweeted your tweet. You tweeted that.
Captain Canada, here. Cooper Davis, thanks so much for joining us, and we are looking forward to seeing you guys for what we hope is a full on-schedule spring baseball season.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks so much to Cooper Davis for joining the show. That was a fun interview going around the Vandy baseball universe with him as the team gets ready to go into their minor hibernation. Normally, they would go after Thanksgiving with the Omaha Challenge. Of course, there is no school after Thanksgiving because of the modified COVID calendar. We really hope to see them back in action in January and then back in normal game action in February. It looks like we'll know more about what the SEC is going to do for baseball scheduling in the next few weeks. We'll, of course, be talking about that here on the show. If you don't already subscribe to the Anchor Down podcast, you should. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts. Search the Anchor Down podcast there. Subscribe so you get a notification every time there is a new episode, typically Mondays and Thursdays, for the Anchor Down podcast. And you can find us as well on thegamenashville.com. Thanks again to Cooper Davis of Vandy Baseball for joining us, to Josh Foster, new Vandy Baseball Sports Information Director, for making that interview happen. You've been anchoring down and listening up with me, Max Herz. It's the Anchor Down podcast on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9th, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.